When you work for somebody who is a bad sales manager, it may make your job tough. But the surprising thing is, you may dislike a sales manager for reasons that can really help you out.
Every single message you deliver is really a sales call. Either you are selling or being sold. Salespeople love to brag about their skills. And the truth is, your success in closing sales depends on your skills, your abilities, and finding the right training. And the great news is, you have come to the right place here at the How to Sell Show with your hosts, Dale Bell and Scott Silvenbell. And be sure to join the party at howtosell.live and download your copy of The 10 Common Mistakes Salespeople Make.
Aloha from Sacramento, California. Today is a perfect day to talk to you. I'm coming to you live from the studio. I finally got my studio rebuilt, so coming to you live from the studio. And I want to talk to you about why you hate your sales manager. Or, you know, if you have a smaller company, why you hate your business owner. So I'm going to use those two terms interchangeably, depending upon how big the organization is that you work with. I mean, you could put executive vice president, you change the title, you put in whatever you need. And for some of these, I think they may surprise you. For some of them, they may make you really think about why you don't like the person that you work for. And so let's start with those. It could be that they hold you accountable. You know, when it comes down to it, sometimes it's just tough to have another adult tell you what to do. You know, there's a lot of times where I look around and I don't want to be told what to do. Like deep down inside, I'm like that little kid that says no to everything, right? So it could be that they hold you accountable. And with that, they have the uncomfortable conversation with you. They tell you how it is. Now remember, that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what they get paid to do. Like your job is to go out and close deals. Their job is to herd you and say, hey, here's what I need from you. And, you know, it's not happening. Why is it not happening? And, you know, they may be very upfront and they may be very abrupt about it. And it may just drive you absolutely insane. But remember, that's what they're being paid to do. Being in sales is about winning. You know, they have somebody ahead of them. So it may be their boss. It may be their goals if it's a smaller organization, a smaller company. You know, it may be their significant other that's their partner. You know, they're like interchangeably put whatever you want there. There's somebody ahead of everybody. Somebody always has somebody above them. You know, they push you to be better. You know, some of the people that just drove me the nuts. I played soccer when I was in eighth grade, and my coach, Marco, played professional soccer in Mexico. And this guy pushed me. Oh my goodness, this guy pushed me. But like, what you don't know is before soccer practice, I had swimming practice. So I had to swim for an hour, hour and a half, depending upon the day. And if we got in trouble, sometimes 2 hours. And the place where I swam was right next to the soccer field. And I would go from swim practice and go from swimming for an hour or two, depending on, like, if I got in trouble, I'd swim for 2 hours, which happened more than I'd like to admit, because, you know, I was a little bit of a defiant person, if you want to put it that way, to go to soccer practice and go running. And Marco pushed me. I mean, this guy, oh my goodness, he was always in my face. You're not fast enough. You're not doing this good enough. You're not. And in the beginning, I couldn't stand him. But like when I got on the field, I was a beast. You know, I was 6'2 in eighth grade. So like, you know, that's not the normal size. That's not the normal height being 6'2. So like I was a dominator on the field and I scared people. They called me the steamroller. And you know, I think back of that time that looking back, I didn't like him because the guy pushed me. He made me better at what I did. And, you know, now that I look back, I'm like, oh, thank goodness I went through that. It could be that they come in, they bring you into the office and they have a conversation and they don't buy your sales process. They see through you. They know what you're going to do before you do it. You know, there's some really good sales managers out there. There's some people out there that can read the situation. They can read the tea leaves in the conversation. They're like, all right, I already know where this is going. I already know the objection or the excuse that you're going to give me, and I'm not going to put up with that. I know how it is. We're going to fix this right now. All right, real deal. You may not like your sales manager because they see through your sales process. You know, it's not always a bad thing. It's an immature idea to think that all management is bad. It's a bad process for you to think like, oh my goodness, sales manager, this guy or this girl's an idiot, this guy or this girl's horrible. There are really good sales managers out there. It could be you haven't worked with them enough. You know, sometimes you meet people and you're just like, you just rub each other wrong the first time you meet. It could have been that they were walking out of a bad interaction or you were walking out of a bad sales call and you just didn't connect. One of the things that I found in my own personal life, I'm waving my hand, jumping up and down saying, this is me, is sometimes you dislike the people around you who have the same weaknesses as you do. Like you're looking and you're like, ah, I can't stand this feature in this person. And then you realize you're like, oh my goodness, that's the one that I have. And it could be that you're too similar. You know, some of the people that I have butted heads with the most were people who were too close to me. So like, you know, it could be that you need to take some time to get to know them, right? Not all sales managers are bad sales managers. I would be irresponsible to say something like that. Two, they know how to bring closers in. And you're like, Scott, why would I not like a sales manager? Because they bring closers in. Like, think about it this way. If you're in a room of 10 salespeople and 8 of them are closers and one of those closers is not you, chances are pretty good that you may not like your sales manager because that person's talking to you a lot. They're like, you need to close more deals. You need to be better at what you do. You know, like what they're saying, and they're not saying it in a mean way all the time, but what they could be saying is you're not good enough to be in this room and I want to see you do better, right? They may not come out and say it that way. They may cycle through the way that they talk to you. Hopefully they you know, they're good at talking to people. You know, most good sales managers are, but sometimes they're doing that on purpose. You're mad at your own insecurities. It could be that you're looking around and like this guy or this girl really wants the best for you. And it's not about the money for them as much as it is to see somebody grow. You know, one of the reasons that I really wanted to train salespeople was because when I got started in 2002, there wasn't a lot of good sales training for me. And for me, I was like, I don't want people to have to go through that. I don't want people to have to search for good content. I want people to be able to like, gosh, darn it, I found some really good content here. Number three, they got skills. Like, yeah, you're jealous. They can close deals. You know, I could think of a couple of people in my life in the world of sales growing up in the last 20 years where I meet them and I'm like, yeah, I don't think this guy can close deals. And like, oh my goodness, can this person close like you wouldn't believe? And once again, it could be a jealousy thing. You know, you don't have the skills that they have. You can't communicate the way that they communicate. You're just not doing the same things that they're doing. And, you know, it could be that you don't like the way that they sell. And when you do enough sales, you'll find that there's like two, maybe three groupings of salespeople. You got passive salespeople, which like go in and talk to people and close deals. And like, you would not ever describe them as pushy. You would not ever describe them as like over the top. You would be like, what? What just happened? That person closed a deal? Like the sales process didn't feel right, okay? And on the other end of the spectrum, you could have somebody who is just an aggressive, over-the-top salesperson, and you know they believe in the always be closing. And like, oh my goodness, you're like, it depending upon where you sit in the spectrum, you could look in the opposite way and go, I don't see how this person's closing deals. I don't see it happening. And then you got somebody who's in the middle. They're the chameleon. They could go either direction. They could be the most nice, passive person you've ever met, or they could be the sales demon, right, that comes out and closes deals. And most of the time when somebody doesn't like a salesperson or a sales manager or a trainer, it's because they've got an opposite belief on what they think sales is. You know, there was a time that I was training a guy recently, and in the notes, it literally said, I don't like this type of sales process, but I was role-playing in front. And he was like, oh, I don't like that type of sales process. And I said, flip your page over. It literally says, this is not my favorite way to sell, but I can do it if I need to. Like I've looked at pretty much every discipline that there is when it comes to selling. I mean, I've looked at everything from, you know, the early 50s, 60s, 70s. I've looked at the Sandler type stuff. You know, when you take a look at it, you got to realize, hey, there's different types of selling processes, just like there's different types of food, there's different types of martial arts, and not every time is it going to fit into like what you think sales is. And so sometimes when you have a sales manager and they sell a different style than you, you're like, oh, I don't know if I like that. It makes me a little bit uncomfortable. Or you're like, that's not the way that I would sell. But there's always something to learn from somebody. If you're a passive salesperson and you're freaking closing deals and you look and you're like, I don't know if I'd ever use that strategy. Like you might have a tool in your tool bag that you didn't have. And if you're an aggressive salesperson, which, you know, either way, isn't a bad thing if you're closing deals and you're looking at the passive person, you're like, oh, you know, I didn't realize that I could probably close a deal that way. It's all about learning. It's all about the process. So there's the three good reasons Like, those are the three positive things. Those are the three things that you should look around and go, man, I didn't really think about it. I probably have a good sales manager. I just didn't realize I didn't like them because, one, they hold me accountable. Two, you know, they hire the right people. They bring in closers. Or three, they can close deals, but their sales process isn't my process. Number four, let's talk about some of the big negatives. I'm going to say it. Asbestos underwear conversation. You hang around enough of my episodes a lot. That means pay attention because some feelings are about to get hurt. They're not a good sales manager. They're a trash talking machine, right? Behind your back, they're saying all the worst things about you. You know, like 5 feet away, you walk up and they get quiet because they were talking their trash in whatever version that is to you. You know, they say one thing to the team, they say another thing to management. Right? Like they don't have anything good to say about salespeople. And with that, they don't hold confidence. You know, like you go to them and you're like, hey, this is what's going on. And the next thing you know, like you go into the office a week later, everybody knows. Or the day later, everybody knows what's going on with you. And you're like, well, that was private. Well, it wasn't me. I don't know. Like, somebody must have overheard us. Like the doors were closed. Right? Somebody must have overheard us. We were at a restaurant. It was empty. Must have been the busboy. It could be they're just not a good person. There are some of those people out there. They're just not a good person. Five, they were put in the position for a bad reason. The ownership or the executive management team didn't want a sales manager. They wanted a mouse. They wanted somebody to just push things around the way that they wanted to get done, exactly how they say it, and this person conforms. So like in the world of sales, in sales management, do you want a mouse? Do you want a man? Do you want a mouse? Do you want a man? Unfortunately, there's companies out there that want a mouse. So they find the worst sales manager they could get. Somebody like you don't really have respect for because of it. They really can't close deals. They're just the talk. They're just the talking face of the management team. It could be that they're just a bad manipulative person. We all know somebody who's just a bad manipulative person. Six, they were never a good salesperson. They're not ever going to be a good salesperson, but they're in a position and they're going to tell you how to do it. And you know, in my lifetime, I can think of a few sales managers that are in positions or have had positions that should never be in a management position because they can't close deals. They're not ever going to understand what you're going through as a salesperson. You know, they're not ever going to see things eye to eye. You know, once again, they should not be in a management position. You just don't respect them. And that's one of the reasons why you don't like them. Number seven, they can't help develop you. You know, you got to know that deep down inside that this isn't the responsibility of a company. This isn't the responsibility of a manager. And sometimes I will talk to salespeople and they get this backwards. They think like, hey, I work for a company. It's their responsibility to train me. And I'm like, oh, by the way, if a company trains you, good for them. But like you have to believe, hey, if it's going to be, it's up to me. The average salesperson, this is an old stat, but the average salesperson will not spend more than 20 bucks on themselves per year. Like that's just one hardbound book. And I know that's not you because you're listening to the How to Sell show and you're like, hey, I want to be better at what I do. And I want to learn how to close deals and make things happen. Like you can't count on this anyway. You can't count on somebody to be there for you. Like in my world, I believe that nobody's coming to help me. There's no emergency phone line. Like I live my life like this way. Like if there is a problem, then I make the call to make it happen. But I do everything I can on my own to figure it out to the point where I'm either A, wasting time, or B, doing it wrong. This is why you got to get your own coach. You got to get your own mentor. You got to listen to podcasts, watch videos, read books, listen to books, whatever you got to do. Do ride-alongs. Do ride-alongs outside of your industry. You're like, hey, Scott, I don't have anybody to ride with in my industry. Go do a side-by-side somewhere else. Go do a ride-along in a different industry. There's always something to learn from somebody. Number eight, they don't stand up for you when you should. Like you, I guarantee you, you're in sales and you're going to have a conversation about commissions. I was teaching body language yesterday. I was at a Fortune 100 company. I can't name it right now because I had to sign a non-disclosure agreement. But I was in a Fortune 100 company yesterday. And I was teaching body language. And before I gave my presentation and talked to him about the body language of closing, the regional president got up and we're talking about commissions. And I'm like, every organization, every industry, every vertical I've ever been around, they all have the same conversations. And I was just sitting in the back corner. I'm sitting there waiting for my presentation and I'm laughing. And I'm like, you know what? You could just change the widget. You could change the name of the company. And like all these conversations happen the same. You know, but there's times where you got to go to your manager and say like, hey, I didn't get paid. You guys asked me to do a thing and I didn't get paid. And there's going to be times where they look and they're like, well, you didn't do your job and this happened and that happened. And there's times where they go, yeah, you're right. You didn't get paid. And they got to stand up for you. But sometimes they don't because they're weak. they're pansies and they don't want to have to go have the conversation with upper management because, you know, they don't want to have to look bad. So they may like blow you off. Oh, well, you know, we'll get into that. We'll look at it next week. A good sales manager can be like, hey, let's get this taken care of. I'll shoot some emails out. I'll CC you or blind CC you so you know what's going on. We're going to get this taken care of. 9, it's all about the money for them. It's the only thing they talk about. The only thing they care about. They're like a non-human person. They're like the money, the closing rate, the closing rate. And that's it. Like there's no humanness to them. And it's very tough to sell to that. It's like, you know what? It's like selling to engineers. You ever sell to an engineer, there's no emotion behind it. It's like, you know what? In my Excel spreadsheet, on this column, in this row, it says this and that. Working for somebody like that is very difficult. 10, if they're a weak salesperson, they tend to duplicate themselves. Let's go deep into the asbestos underwear conversation. let's heat up the seat. Let's put you in the hot seat. Real deal, this is what happens. Most salespeople are people pleasers, and they're just pleasant people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but a good majority of them can't close deals. I know that's not you. You're listening to the How to Sell show. You're looking to get better. So, like, you know, we're going to exclude you here. But what happens is when you look around a sales team, if there's 10 people on a team, you look at the table, you're like, 7 out of 10 people in this room should not be sitting at this table. Why are they here? And then you look, and you're like, oh my goodness, that sales manager, all he did was duplicate himself. He hired a people pleaser, right? So here's what really happens is the sales manager couldn't make it in the organization. They couldn't close deals. And the management team felt bad for him. So what they do is they go, oh, you know what we'll do? We'll make you a sales manager. Yeah, maybe people will respect you. Maybe people will believe that, you know, you could do what needs to be said. And so what happens is they don't know how to interview people. They know how to please people. So they're like, oh, I met somebody and they had a pulse. Guess what? We hired them. And you're looking around and you're like, this dude's going to steal my ups. This chick is going to steal my leads. What are they doing here? So these salespeople are duplicating themselves. They're like, they're a sales manager, but they really shouldn't be a sales manager. Like they should be doing something different. They don't have the skills to be in the job. But for whatever reason, management was like, we really like this guy. We really like this girl who doesn't have the skills what it takes, but they're a people pleaser and people pleasers hire people pleasers. And so you're looking around the table and you're like, gosh, darn it, not again. You hired a new salesperson. You hired another salesperson who can't close deals. You've overstocked the sales team. It's funny because I talk to my friends in the car world and this happens that like they'll get to the point where they clean out all the weak salespeople. And then the next week they walk in and they're like, oh, new green piece. We're trying to see how many we can keep out of the 20 that we hire. We're going to get one good one. And these people just ruin ups. They price match. They discount. You know, my buddies in the in-home sales world, this happens like every time that the seasons change. So like heating and air, roofing, you know, those are springtime summer activities. And so it always seems like there's always weak salespeople and the team's overstaffed to help close deals. And then what happens is the weak salespeople can't close deals and the weak sales manager can't close deals. So they start rattling up and calling and talking to all the top salespeople and eating up and chewing on their ear, which isn't a bad thing, except for that salesperson's trying to close deals. But because the sales manager is a sales manager and shouldn't be a sales manager as weak at what they're doing, now you can't call them and get advice. So there's a huge problem when a weak salesperson is made to a manager and like there's no respect for them. So there you go. There's 10 reasons why you don't like your sales manager. 3 of them, like, you know, really aren't a problem. 7 of them are really the negative things that happen. So, you know, pay attention and look. If it's the top 3 where you're looking around and you're like, why is it that I don't like my sales manager? And you're like, oh, because they hold me accountable. That's not a reason to dislike a sales manager. If you're looking, you're like, why do I dislike my sales manager? Oh, because they bring closers in and they make me look bad. Okay, that's not a reason to dislike your sales manager. And if you're looking around, you're like, yeah, I don't like my sales manager because they got skills. Yeah, that's jealousy. Now, if it's the other things that they're not a good person, they're put in that position for a bad reason. They were never a good salesperson. They can't help develop you, but remember, that's not their job. That's not necessarily the job of a company. It's a benefit when they do. They don't stand up for you when they should. For them, it's all about money. And last of all, they're made a sales manager when they shouldn't be a sales manager. It makes it tough to want to go in and close deals.
Thanks for checking out this episode of the How to Sell Show. You can join the party at howtosell.live to get the show notes, links, updates on new episodes, recordings of previous episodes, articles, as well as videos. You may not know this sales secret, but sharing this episode with a friend will bring you good luck. See you soon. Mahalo.